Welcome to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We hope that you will be encouraged and challenged today as you listen to a message from one of our speakers. Prepare your heart and get ready to receive a word from God today.
Last week, here at the church, you want to know how many people came to one of our five celebrations on the weekend? Somebody just say, yeah, tell us, Mark. Thank you. Here's the number we got. 1,592 people came to one of our celebrations last week. So that's the most we have ever had, except for an Easter where we do like multiple lots of services. That's a high number for us. And so we celebrate that. But the other thing that I typically clarify is that the more exciting thing beyond like a statistic of a bunch of people coming to church, it's the individual stories and testimonies, right? How do you know? There are a lot of things you can bring a crowd together, but that doesn't necessarily mean church is going on. It's a crowd. I think there's a football game today somewhere or something. There'll be lots of crowds gathering this evening, but that doesn't necessarily mean anyone's life's going to change. Or does that make sense? And so we're excited about the individual stories. Here's one. Billy Watrude. Some of you might know Billy. I was just looking at his testimony. I think Billy, we've got a picture of Billy. There he is. So he has one of those testimonies that for me was just had notable moments, just interesting what Billy's been through. A couple notes from his testimony. At age 14, he left home. He did come back home at 16 for a short period, but then soon after that, packed everything. He says, I packed everything I had for the last time. It includes a season of just diving into darkness, he said. So there are ups and downs and struggles, included jail time, all kinds of things that you would not hope for your son or you would wish not happen to you, right? There's one part in his testimony where he was spending time, here's what it said, tattooing for an outlaw motorcycle club. Who in the world has that in their testimony? If 16 people here have been doing that, I don't believe you. So it's the first, I've read thousands of testimonies, first one ever that said, and then I was tattooing for an outlaw motorcycle club. Okay. So anyway, fast forward from all that stuff to this last fall, Billy has an encounter with God here at the church. He was actually part of the crew that was here, didn't attend the church, but part of the crew that was here helping put up a portable that we have in the back that we use for children's ministry. Had an encounter with God, prayed with some folks, recommitted his life to Jesus. Began to connect here at the church. The next picture is of Billy and his girlfriend of 5 years, Teresa. They both got baptized. They now are serving on multiple teams at the church. They're attending classes. I saw Billy twice this week in the evening here at classes at the church, one on Monday night and another one. He was in a leadership development class that I'm teaching with Kathy Smarella. There he is. He's super excited about Jesus. His life is getting transformed. And some fun news, he and Teresa got married February, now think of the date, February 6th, 2000, that was yesterday. Yesterday, in the last 2 weeks, he contacted one of the pastors of the church, and out of conviction from God, they've been living together for years, out of conviction from God, they said, we need to get married. How cool, how many of you know that's what it's about? It's about the individual story. It's about the two students following or during Aftershock last weekend, which is our weekend programming for middle school and high school students, two students committing their life to Jesus, turning from sin and committing their life, being forgiven through the sacrifice of Christ. Two students last weekend. It's about recent reports that I've been aware of individuals testifying that God has healed them from depression. How many of you know that's what it's about? Or just a fun one recently, a post on Facebook from Rochelle Hartman, who had been dealing with knee pain for 13 years. And during one of our celebrations, one of the invitations for prayer time was specifically for someone who was suffering from knee pain. So, you know, that's what we do. We try to hear what God's doing, and then we try to jump into it. And so we said, if you've got knee pain, come up and we'll pray. Well, she then posted on Facebook because apparently God intervened. And she said, I have had two supernatural ice packs on my knees. I'm used to warmth from swelling and inflammation. My right knee has virtually no pain, and I can feel strength returning to my legs. I like this. Here's the deal, she says, posting this face. They may or may not stay painless, and that's okay. I'm enjoying the cold while it lasts. Seriously, it feels like I've spread icy hot all over my knees. It's so amazing, and no smell. LOL. Isn't that cool? Oh, that's what it's about. So hold those thoughts of individual lives being changed and encouraged and challenged by God. Hold that. We are in a series called The Calling, Discovering a Life Outside of Me. And today is going to be a little bit different because we're not going to talk about individual calling. We're going to talk about a calling that I believe is on our church for the next several years. And we're calling it Reach. And most of you have heard about it. This will be the day where we are unveiling all that we know to the entire church family. Some of you will have heard some of this information. Most of you will probably have heard at least a little. Some of you, this might be brand new, but by the end of the weekend, we will all be on the same page, hopefully, regarding this. And the vision is to launch 5 church plants or campuses in the next 5 years. Before I read the rest of it, you know what the vision is? The vision is more of the stuff that we're seeing around the vineyard. We're going to try to make space for more of that to happen here and more of that to move out into our community. Okay? That's what we're doing. But now back to the official thing. Right? The vision is to launch 5 church plants or campuses in the next 5 years. We've talked about spreading this out while continuing the spiritual health and movement that already exists within our present church family. We're going to stay healthy and I think even get healthier as we walk through this. So what we're going to do today is get some more details on the vision. Again, some of it might be new to some of you. Some of you that you'll get this will be the first time and you'll be like, oh, okay, so this is what's going on. And we're going to do that in hopes that we'll be on the same page and that ultimately we will engage our hearts and our lives and our minds and our prayers and our spirits and our hands and our feet and our finances into this vision. So we're going to talk some about money today. Everybody calm down. We're not going to take a special offering at the end of this, and we're not going to receive any pledge cards at the end of the talk today. But we're hopeful to give you enough information so that you can begin a 6-week process of prayer so that we can all get behind this. Palm Sunday, we are going to ask everyone in the church to commit to a 3-year giving campaign to fund this vision. Palm Sunday, we'll have pledge cards and do a first fruits offering and get this thing moving even more than it is now. So pay attention today. Basically going to address 2 questions today. Number 1 is, what does extending the walls look like? What's this look like, extending the walls to influence our world? And the second thing is, what kind of financial investment will it take? So as we do that, before we do that, let's pause and pray. God, I thank you for vision. I'm so glad that you have given me and you have given us something to do besides just focus on ourselves. I am glad for that. So today, as we talk about opportunities that are before us as a team, as a church family, Help me communicate. Lord, ultimately, will you begin to communicate to us how we can be part of this? I pray a blessing on every person in the room, whether they're just new and today is a great day for them to kind of figure out what this church is about. And for some of us who've been here for a long time and will be challenged again to stay engaged and keep being engaged in the mission and the ministry here. So talk to us, Lord. Give us strength, courage, excitement. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing, what does extending the walls look like? Let's talk about that for a little while. You can write this down on your handout. Extending the walls means more campuses. We've been talking about campuses, and let me give you, in the state of the church, we talked in terms of just spreading out. The reality is there are people that this location is not easily accessible to them. They're not going to fully engage if they live so far away. So we're going to talk about spreading out into our community. A simple definition of spreading out through campuses, this is a definition of a multi-campus church. You don't have to write this down, but I've underlined location. It's a church that has more than one location. Can I tell you already, that's us already, in a sense, because of in the next two services following this, there will be people doing church in two places. Now, let me just clarify. So here's an image of our building, and we are here in what we call the main auditorium, right? Now, let me just describe for you, and you all know what happens here, right? You come in the front door. You get some coffee. At least most of us do. You get some coffee. You're greeted. You enter into to another space where you're handed something. Hopefully, you get smiled at. There's a sense of God's presence and warmth. You may greet people. We enter into a time of worship together. Then there's some announcements, and then there's a teaching, right? Just the same stuff that we're experiencing today. Following that, there'll be a time of prayer where, again, many times then God will individually affect people's lives. At the end of that, we leave. We've been encouraged, all those things. But let me tell you what goes on now in Auditorium B, what we call South Door Campus, just in case you haven't been there. Here's what happens. People come in the door, they're greeted, someone gives them a piece of paper, hopefully they're smiled at, and then worship happens, and then they sit through a teaching time, and there's announcements, and then people pray for it. How many of you know it's the same thing? It is the same. How many of you attended at the South Door Campus in Auditorium B? It is the same. We have a number of people that say it's the same thing, only better. And just to clarify, here's the deal. A couple ideas with this. It is not overflow. One church in many locations is not one church with overflow. Overflow is the place where people go to sit through it, to check out, and then they leave really quickly. Last weekend, there were 50 people that hung around for an hour and a half. They just did fellowship after church at South Door Campus. It's not overflow. The other thing that I would say is that it's not a fad where a few people have checked it out and it was fun for 3 weeks. Last weekend, 131 of our 1,592 people attended South Door Campus. They engaged, and if you asked them, where do you go to church? They'd say, oh, I go to Vineyard. And I go to the South Door location. Or they would say, I go to Vineyard. In auditorium, I go to Vineyard. We're Vineyard people. We just are in different places. So we're going to do more of that. And many of you know, here are some of the locations we're exploring. So where are these campuses things happening? And I'll just walk through three that we're exploring. The first one is, and you can go to these exploring meetings. February 13th and 14th. When's that? That's next weekend. Is that next weekend? Next weekend, after every celebration, you can go to the Exploring North Campus. Where's the North Campus going to be? Ready? North. Somewhere up on the north side, where people up at a certain distance will not act. They may come and visit, but it's pretty hard for them to engage, right? So we're going to check out the North Campus. We're also going to I'll do an exploring meeting the week after that about Sturgis. And you think, well, why Sturgis? It's because God's raised up an individual who feels called to take what goes on here to the community of Sturgis, Barry Summerfield. So we're exploring that. In the next meeting, so in 3 weeks, we're doing exploring downtown South Bend. Pastor Steve will be leading that one. We're not sure. That's the one we probably have the least information about. Now, here's the reality. Do we know that all these places will end up with a campus? No. A walk with God isn't that simple, but we're just pressing in, finding information. Had a conversation, significant conversation yesterday about Elkhart. Anybody here from Elkhart? Yeah, did we all know God loves Elkhart people too? Yeah, we knew that. We knew that, didn't we? They love Elkhart people too. But here's the deal. And some of Elkhart, this is a good location, pretty accessible. But in some areas of Elkhart, you go very far. This is forever away from parts of Elkhart. So there's a whole bunch of people over there that might respond to the gospel the way we share it. So extending the walls means more campuses. Second thing to write down, or another thing to write down, extending the wall means some church plants. I am still praying and hopeful over the next 5 years we will have multiple church plants. We sent one out. Some of you don't know. 3 years ago, we sent out a church plant that now it's its own church. It's called North Point Vineyard Church. Rob and Tara Wallace, who were on staff here for 10 years, went out. They're doing a phenomenal job. They took a team of about 80 people, and now they're averaging over 250 people on the weekend. How many know that translates to stories? It's not just a statistic. There are individual stories of people encountering God, coming to Jesus, being forgiven for their sin, all that stuff. One thing we're celebrating this weekend with Rob and Tara, they just locked in a new building, and they are going to be meeting at that building starting this week. Right now, today, they're going to move a whole bunch of stuff in and do their first worship experience at that building up on the north side. How cool is that? So we're about that. It's about church planting. Another thing to write down, extending the wall means Jackson Road expansion. What are we going to do here? Because there's an influx of people here, and we want to maintain our spiritual vitality. When I did the State of the Church, I kind of messed with everyone, and I said, how many of you want to see the final plans for the new building? And everybody went, yeah, and I said, sorry, I can't. We'll come back. So everybody was really mad at me. But today, how many of you want to see the new... Okay, today's it. So today's it. Yay. So let's just walk through this first... There you go, is the first... that's our building now, and of course, we're right here. The main auditorium is right here in this space. The next slide is where we're... These are basic, you know, blue slides of what it is. This is where we're headed. We're not going to walk through this quickly. This is where we're headed. And we can zoom in on the children's ministry side will stay the same at this point, but here's where change is going to happen. Can you get your bearings there of where we are? Flip back two slides really quick, if you would. Okay, so that's where you're sitting. Now go forward two slides. This is what's going to come. Now we're going to highlight a few spaces. First thing is office space, which none of you really care about, but we're going to do it anyway because there's staff who has no place to put a computer, right? So we're going to do an office expansion so that all the staff in the church at least have a cubicle someplace that we can be the most productive we can. The second thing then we're going to do is atrium space, which right now is on the other side of that wall and gets really full at different times. The atrium space is going to be expanded. That wall, the big tall wall there, will be taken down and basically moved to here. Somewhere-ish. So we're going to at least double the size of the atrium space. Here, be here. It's right exactly here. Somewhere. Right? Expanding atrium space. Then an auditorium C will be built. here, y'all sitting in auditorium C. Okay, following that? This space will be virtually the same size as our auditorium B is right now, if you've been there. This space will function as a place for South Door campus to meet on the weekends, as well as another multi-purpose classroom for fit classes and all those kinds of things. Got it? Atrium space, auditorium C. And then we go to the main, we'll build a new main auditorium. Main auditorium, which if you can't figure out that, atrium space, auditorium C, ready? Somewhere here, hallway. Back to a new, on the other side of this wall, there's grass right now, but there won't be. Main auditorium. In the picture that you're looking at, a little over 500 seats are set up. But an important note is, because there are times we need more than that, when, like Easter, some of those times, or certain events, we do, breathe. We've run out of space for some, you know, here's a one of the reasons that we need to do expansion. There are some events that we have opportunities to do that we don't do because we don't have a space big enough to do them. Or we have to limit our promotion, because if we promote them as much as we'd like to, people will come to the door and will say, I'm sorry, you can't get in. And so this space will, we will be able to expand from the 500 up to probably six, if Vineyard style, we could put in 630, 640, 650 chairs for special events. Okay? Another way this is helpful for me is look at this next picture. It's one of our first 3D renderings of what the space will look like. Just walk through the. Just going to pause and let you kind of digest that, chew on that for a minute. See where you might come in, the gathering space, the atrium. Hallway space comes through here. There's a hall here separating. This will be Auditorium C, South Door campus on the weekends. Bigger space back there. Visualizing it? Can you see it? I believe that this is God's will for us. I want to give you a few reasons why. I have a longer list, but here's why I believe it's God. I believe it is a phenomenal plan for us. First thing is, it's financially realistic. We'll talk about numbers in a minute. It's great stewardship of our existing, building what we have, making the most use. It's financially realistic. Second thing, it's the same primary spaces. It's the spaces that we need. We need atriums. We need atrium spaces. We need another auditorium for that. We need main auditorium. Number three, it opens up common community space. So when people come in, whether they decide to be Vineyard folks and that go to South Door campus, or whether they decide to be Vineyard folks that go to main auditorium, when we come out of celebrations, we're all one family in the same place. I think that's a positive. I think that's important. Number four, it addresses our present pinch points. Recently, we added onto the parking lot because that was, we had people coming through the parking lot. There was no place to park, and they would leave. Right now, our pinch points, which it's where people get pinched, hopefully not pinched like goosed, but pinched. In the atrium right now, there's people, it gets packed. And so we'll be expanding the atrium. And our main auditorium is another pinch point for us. Becomes uncomfortably full during some services. Number five. We avoid a newly discovered easement issue. This was just kind of a side note, but it's kind of worth sharing. We were exploring adding on to that side of the building. Found out through the builder and some information that we may, on that end of the building, we're closer to the road than what our original prints had said we were. We could have walked through a process of trying to expand that into the building, and then the state or the county would have gone, hey, that was a great idea. You can't go that far. Now, that was just in the process, but a side note, it was a big confirmation for us when we started to go this direction. We're like, whoa, we just think part of that was just God protecting us from possible, like, because that had been kind of a bummer to put a bunch of money into plans and then have, so that was another thing. Number six, it keeps children's ministry separate. Again, there'll be adult ministry, the classrooms. That, I think, is of great value to us. Number seven, it simplifies the overall project to 18-month, to an 18-month build. Here's the deal. Because of the way this is laid out, we can keep doing church in here the whole time while that's getting built. Long story short, we could be in what we just saw in 18 months from today. Or we could be in sooner. Not this summer, but the summer after. Ministry could be benefiting from all that space. That's the Jackson Road expansion. Just to note, for the next several weeks, we're going to have a reach because we just dumped a whole lot of information. You may have questions, curious about different things. In the atrium, there'll be a reach booth. It's out there, and it will be staffed between every service. You can go up and talk about anything we just talked about, ask questions, feedback. For 6 weeks, we'll just be out there, all right? So you might be thinking, at least one or two or three or 50 of us are thinking, well, what's it cost, right? So then the second part of the time, we'll talk about what kind of financial investment will it take. And before we do that, I'm going to put off sharing the number with you to talk about something that we've done every time we've done a major giving campaign at the church. And some of you know this. We have decided that whenever we put that much money into kingdom growth around here, we take 10% of everything that comes in and we give that to the most needy people we know. So that's how so much of our work in South Sudan has happened, and those kind of things. So let me just give you a scripture that's going to be driving us for this giving campaign. Jesus is teaching, telling a parable about the end of time, and he describes that God will separate the sheep from the goats. Just in, if you don't know the story, it's in Matthew 25. Let me just tell you, you want to be a sheep, okay? Goats, no good. Bad. Goats, bad. Sheep, good. Okay, anyway, sorry. Okay, sheep, good, bad, goats, bad, okay. But anyway, so part of the dialogue is what opens the door to eternity, to heaven for the sheep? Why do the sheep get to go? And then here's what the text says. Jesus says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And then the sheep, the heaven-bound sheep, say to Jesus, when did we see you? When did we see you poor or hungry or in prison? When do we see? And then here it says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the, this is what's going to drive us with the 10% that we're giving away. We're going to give 10% away to the least of these brothers and sisters of mine. So we're putting together a team of people, and they will take that 10% and they will pour it into the least of these. Among us here locally, internationally, we're going to find the least of these type projects. Okay? That said, by the way, that's exciting to me. That's just honorable. That said, so now, What do we need? What's the cost? Knowing that 10% of whatever comes in will go to some other place. Here's the cost. $2.8 million. You take 10% off the top, because we're not going to get to spend that on us or on this, and that leaves total funds available just over $2.5 million to do the work of the vision of this reach campaign. just pausing in case any one of you wants to write a check right now for 2.5. We'll take care of the 20,000, just 2.5. No. All right? That's what it will take. We'll have to invest that to get it done. What will happen? What will the 2.5 bring into the kingdom work? Here's just a list of the basic things. That includes the new main auditorium, the atrium renovation, the auditorium C renovation. It includes money set aside for reach sites, campuses, to help support church plants, all that. Office expansion, parking. We'll probably have to add some more parking when we make some more space here. And some set aside for leadership development for the people that God is raising up to do campuses, church planting, or help with those. One other thing, because I know, you know, there's more information about just those numbers. On your way out, you're going to be offered a Reach booklet that has all of this information in it. Okay? So some of you are trying to go, how am I going to, right? It will all be in this. So how are we going to provide, invest 2.8 million? How are we going to get to that number? So far, no one in the service has just said, I'll write the check for the whole thing. And that's, someone here said that would be nice. I'm not sure. You know what? I'm glad because that's not happening. Because that's a whole nother tangent. But a healthy church is when everybody is involved. So if you win the lottery tomorrow, God bless you, but don't give us, I don't know, if you win the lottery, you might want to at least talk to us about it. But anyway, okay. So how do you get 2.8 million from a group of us? Here, you can write this down. We'll get there with full participation. That means all of us engaging. We won't just be looking at somebody else. It looks like that person has a little more than me, hopefully there. But all of us, for those of us to whom much has been given, we will probably be able to give more. Those of us without as much, we will not give as much as that. But we will also sacrifice. Full participation and significant sacrifice. That's how you get there. And just another note, sacrifice is beyond what we're giving now. So many of you are supporting the church now with your tithe or with percentage giving. You're regularly giving. What won't work for this vision is we'll go, oh, cool, well, I'll just take, you know, the $75 a week I give now, and then I'll just put it in the other. That won't work. Does that make sense? Because we've got to keep all the ministry going. So we're talking about above and beyond what we're our normal giving, what we're giving now. David, who was an Old Testament character worth trying to, he had a heart for God, and he said, I will not take for the Lord what is yours or sacrifice a burnt offering that costs me nothing. There will be cost involved in this. Some of you know, 8 years ago, a group of 81 people, when our church was about 400 people, we used to meet on Merrifield Road, about 81 people, actually it was exactly 81 people, took on the challenge of raising money to begin this building and campus. And 81 people banded together and went through a 3-year season of sacrifice to get this going. And in a very real sense, if you've experienced God here in the last 7 years, like you've visited this church, most of you didn't come to church here when we were back at Merrifield. In a very real sense, you know what laid the foundation for us today experiencing God? Was the reality of those 81 people's intentional sacrifice. It's the way it works. So guess whose turn it is now? It's us. And for some of us, it's us again. Because a lot of those 81 people are still around, and they will again go, whew, it was a good 7-year break, 8-year break, but now we're going to move into it again. Their investment set the stage for what's happening today, for the celebration, for children's ministry that'll happen today, for the hundreds of baptisms that happened last year, for that God moment in your life where God encouraged you, healed you, spoke to you. That's because somebody went before us. Another practical image. This is a chart of gifts because we all have different resources. This is one way that 340 people can sacrifice together and end up with $2.8 million over a three-year period. So start at the top of the list. To get to 2.8, we need a couple people that can give weekly almost $1,000 a week. Those are the people that, by God's grace and favor, have more money than most of us. But we need some of that. So you get two of those, and they can give that much a week, and that ends up being $4,000 a month, and that ends up with a three-year, that's a big sacrifice. Take some people who, you know, $600. And this is just one way it works. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. When you look at this chart of gifts, and as you begin to pray over the next 6 weeks, please, don't start at the bottom. Just don't start at the bottom. I was thinking about this morning. When Jesus looked down at us and saw our need for salvation, I'm so glad he didn't say to the Father, can I just start at the minimum? He just did whatever it took. So just don't start at the bottom. Now, I understand God will guide you through. There are a lot of us, we'll start at the top, but we'll only be there for like 3 seconds because we'll know $1,000 a week, that's not going to be me. But as you walk down and dialogue with God, if you will ask God in every number, God will end up guiding us to an amount that is sacrificial and honorable. Also, if you end up, as you walk through the process, and you end up at like $19 a week or 64 or 10, please don't. There will be people who the end number won't be as big, but in God's eyes, it's every bit as big, right? So you just walk through the numbers. So that's one way that it'll work. I have one more fun thing to share, and we're going to be done. Most of us will be working through this process in the next 6 weeks. We have already taken a group, the staff, and a group of leaders at the church through this process. We started last fall and said, hey, would you guys, we call them a momentum group, and we said, would you begin to pray now? We gave them as much information as we had so that they might bring momentum and give and pledge ahead of time so that today we could encourage the church and say, like, we're on our way. Does that make sense? 61 people have already pledged, and here's the number that 61 people have already pledged toward the 2.8 million. 61 people have already pledged one point. Isn't that cool? So God bless the staff, leaders, and people we invited to do that. We're over halfway there. Isn't that cool? But we're not all the way there. We'll all have to walk through the same process as they did. Make sense? Woo! We're going to do this thing. So on your way out, make sure you pick up a Reach booklet. Over the next 6 weeks, we'll be giving you a few more tidbits of information and announcement, but mostly begin the process of seeking God, praying, looking at your finances, look at what God has given you. Why don't you stand? I'll close. As we close, a scripture. Thursday, I was reading in the book of Romans, doing my personal devotions in Romans right now. And this scripture I read, and it kind of stirred me and encouraged me with this whole idea of reach. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I know that is good news. You call on the name of Jesus and you're saved. You're forgiven. But it goes on, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And this was where I paused in my devotions. How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And it is our responsibility to try to spread out the voice of the Spirit as much as we can to as many people as possible. And that's the heart of what we're trying to do here. So let me pray. Father, thank you for these people who have, it seems like they stayed engaged and they listened. And I just pray a blessing on them as we all just walk through the process of seeing how we can honor you and reach out to more. Bless them as they process and think. I also pray that you would pour out blessing on them, on their hearts, minds, and finances. Because some of this is not about money. Some of it's about we've got work to do. So just prepare us for this next season of even more ministry. And I thank you, God, for giving us a vision that's outside of ourselves. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We pray that you were impacted by this message. God bless and see you next time.